You're listening to the GM Shuffle, presented by DraftKings and VSiN.
Back on the GM Shuffle, I am Jeff Schwartz alongside Marty Herney. And Marty, we got news on Monday, the 25th here. The Commanders and two-time Pro Bowl receiver Terry McLaurin, three-year extension, $96 million. I mentioned this to you in the break in your first comments, which I thought were great for a general manager, were how much guaranteed money? And the answer is, we don't know right now, but the holdout is done. Is this a deal that works for both sides?
It really is. And Jeff, you know, we've talked about it. I think if you just look at the process of what took place with Terry McLaurin's hold in and the whole contract negotiations, both sides handled it so great. I mean, I don't think Terry McLaurin did an interview since mid-July on it, right? And he was there. He'd be seen at practice, talking to players. He even was seen talking to Adam Peters once. And I think that the way the organization handled it and the way the player handled it were perfectly. Now, you know, Terry's agent was asking for over 30 a year, right? So he is, he's 30 this year. He's going to be 31 next year. He's going to be 32 in the second year of the extension. So what do you do as a team? Okay. It was important for the player and the agent to have the optics of making over $30 million a year. But that's where the guarantee comes in. How much is guaranteed? What's that third year? What's that last year's salary? Is it high to kind of just jack up the average per year and make it look better as far as what the agent and the player were asking for? You know, Terry McLaurin's in great shape. I think that 30 years old, 3 years is definitely a length that you can get 3 years out of him. And he's such an important part of this team. But I think the thing that makes you so impressed with the organization is just how they handled this whole situation. You could tell the owner, the general manager, and the head coach were all on the same page. And so was the player's agent and Terry. And this is a great deal for both sides. As a general manager, you know what I worry about the most, Jeff? Injury.
Yeah.
Guys that do not participate in training camp, I think it's about a 15% increase in their chances of being injured. So, you know, you want to take it easy on them. You don't want to rush them back in, but you also want them to be there for the opener.
Top wide receiver average salaries. And this is average salaries, right? It's not the guaranteed money or not the length, but Ja'Marr Chase is over $40 million. Justin Jefferson at 35. CeeDee Lamb's at 34. DK Metcalf, 33. Garrett Wilson, 32.5. And then AJ Brown and Terry McLaurin at $32 million. You mentioned something that I want to explore. So the hold-in is a new concept, right? Because in previous CBAs, you could hold out, not be there in camp. You would get fined, and you would rescind those fines as soon as the player showed up. I mean, I very rarely think was a player ever had to pay the fine. Now, it might have been into a signing bonus. It might have just been, like, forgiven. The new CBA made the fines mandatory. I don't know why the players did this, Marty. It seems like a very dumb thing to do. I mean, I guess if the owners wanted it and you're giving them something to get something in return, this isn't the worst thing to give away because only, a handful of players. And so the hold-in is new. So you're in the building. You go to meetings. I assume you lift and you do your rehab and your prehab, but you don't practice. You may or may not travel to games. I know Terry McLaurin, I don't think traveled to their final preseason game. Brian Robinson Jr. did not either. We have a hold-in with Michael Parsons, who we'll get to in a second. Trey Hendrickson had a hold-out, then a hold-in. Hold-ins are new. How would you have handled a hold-in as a general manager?
I think, you know, the way the Washington handled it was perfectly, you know, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all, especially as a general manager. Okay. You have the owner and the head coach. The head coach, his job's to win games this year, right? And he doesn't want them holding out. He wants to get the deal done. The owner communicates with the star players. He, you know, he talks to them. You never know what's going to go on at that point. Now, the owner wants to be consistent. He understands the importance of precedent and what you do for one player kind of affects what you do for all the other players. He's very aware of that, but you're kind of getting, you're in the middle between the owner and the head coach. Sometimes it was very obvious to me that the owner, Josh Harris, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn were all on the same page, plus the agent and Terry McLaurin. They were obviously had very good communication, and I think it showed by the way this whole thing played out. You know, as a general manager, what you're looking at is you have to look at 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And the person that's going to take most of the personnel puzzle in 2 years is Jane Daniels, right? I mean, I would think after 26, they're going to come in and try to extend him, and he's going to take almost 20% of your salary cap. Now you have your left tackle and your center who probably take up 15 to 20% of that. So, you know, the room runs out very quickly. But the way the Commanders handled this showed that they had an eye on the future, but they knew how to handle a difficult situation as good as they could.
A team that appears to not handle the situation at all in the way they should is the Dallas Cowboys, Marty. Micah Parsons still not with an extension. And look, I just for the life of me, Marty, I don't get it. Like, there's nothing about Micah Parsons that I would have any hesitation about paying long-term. First of all, the numbers show when he is on the field, the Cowboys are number one in expected points added. So efficiency, essentially, right? Number one in the NFL when he is on the field defensively. When he's off the field, about 1,000 snaps, they're 31st. So he's that big of a difference. When you go up to game plan on a Wednesday, when you show up for that first game plan meeting, every coach does the same thing. They put up a list of players who are game wreckers, essentially, right? And they say, these are the guys you have to make sure where they are on the field every play. Offense, defense, and rarely special teams. But, like, Parsons is number one on every board who's playing the Cowboys. Number one player you have to watch out where he is every single play. He is an absolute game wrecker. And I get he does a podcast and maybe you question his leadership. I get those things. He's also young. Like, he can grow into being a more mature player at some point. But the fact is, or more mature person, or maybe a better leader. But the fact is, he is a player that is a difference maker. And I'm watching the Netflix documentary right now on the Cowboys. It's great. It's fantastic. One thing you notice is they have all the best football players. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, the entire offensive line, Charles Haley, Deion Sanders. Yeah, that works, right, when you have the best players. And Micah Parsons is one of those better players, and Jerry is refusing to do a deal with him for this obtuse thing about how he negotiated a contract with Parsons privately, and then his agent wants to get involved, which is why his agent is paid to get involved and be the person who leads this, and now he won't talk to his agent, Marty. This reeks of just incompetence, and it reeks of why the Cowboys have been stagnant for 30 years now. Pay the damn player, man. Pay him.
It's become personal, Jeff. It's exactly the opposite of how we explain the Commanders situation. And listen, this is the problem with when an owner sits down with a player, thinks he's got a connection with them, and tries to negotiate the contract with the player. There isn't an agent in this league that's going to let that happen. And, you know, we always told players, Jeff, that the agent works for you. You don't work for the agent. But as a player, I'd be interested, you know, what's your impression when somebody says that?
That the agent works for who?
That the agent works for you, the player. The player does not work for the agent. So what Jerry Jones is saying is, hey, Micah, yes, you and I sat down, we made a deal. You work for him. Don't do this.
No, that's not the case. No, it's not the case. And here's the thing. I also take offense. I mean, I don't take offense. I'm not in the contract negotiation, but I get why Parsons takes offense to Jerry basically thinking he's dumb enough to agree to a deal without his representation there. And there are certain players who don't have representation. I get that. But Parsons very clearly has representation. And the fact that Jerry Jones refuses to even talk to his agent, we have a deal done. You might have talked parameters. I don't know. Parsons said that you sort of talked about it in a meeting. He said I went there to talk about it, my leadership, which is a good topic I think that Parsons should explore. And we talked a little bit about the contract, and Jerry thinks we agreed to it. I didn't agree to anything. You know, Jerry's trying to do this the good old boy routine. I shook his hand. It's a deal. Marty, how often did Mitchell Richardson essentially did he do deals with players and then you had to pick up the pieces, I guess? I don't know. This feels very uncommon, though.
Never. I tell you now, the communication between Mr. Richardson and me and the head coach was very good. You always knew where he stood, right? But he let the general manager do his job, and that is negotiating a contract with the agent. You know, one of your biggest concerns when you're negotiating contracts as a general manager are the assistant coaches, the head coach, are people going and talking to the player, saying things they shouldn't say, which gets back to the agent, which makes it harder to get a deal done. This Cowboys thing's all that on steroids. I mean, it's just, I'd shake my head. I don't know how anybody could think that they were going to get a deal done like that. If Micah Parsons is representing himself, that's fine. But he's got an agent, the agent, and he's got a reputable agent. And he's just not going to let that happen. So now it's become personal. You have Micah Parsons scrubbing his social media accounts and laying on the trainer's table during a preseason game, not wearing a jersey. I mean, it's such a distraction. I don't know. How much does that affect the locker room, Jeff?
I think for Parsons, it affects it a lot because of who he is as a player. If it's someone else, probably not. But because, look, the players, we know who's good and who's not good. Like, we get it. And we also know when sometimes the owner is involved a little too much. I mean, we could talk about 2010 for many episodes if we wanted to. But, like, you know when the owner's too involved in roster decisions and when it hurts your chance to win. In the end, okay, I've said this many, many years. I'll repeat it many times as we do this show. In the end, all we care about as players is winning football games because that's what gets us paid, okay? Yeah. We don't care who you date, how much you party, honestly, how you work out. If you show up on Sunday and you help us win football games, you're done. You're not right. Like, so the players want Parsons there because guess what? He helps them win football games. That's why they want him there. And I imagine they like him as a teammate. He seems very friendly. He seems very attuned with who he is, like all the other things that matter, of course. But they want him in the building because they want to win football games. If you're Brian Schottenheimer, I imagine you want your first year head coach, your first opportunity to be head coach. You want him in the building to help you win football games. You mentioned the 15% injury rate when guys don't practice in camp. That's a problem. You need Parsons to play. We talked about that earlier. So I hope it gets done soon. It feels like it may be going there as we see McLaurin get done now. All right, coming up next, we'll talk some trades, some Matt Stafford, and the GM Shuffle presented by DraftKings Network.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. Do you feel stupid for buying a timeshare? Don't. It's not your fault. You were most likely told you could rent it, and it was a great financial investment. And the deal was available today only. If this happened to you, contact your resort or Wesley Financial Group for help today.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-242-3131. 800-242-3131.